You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
Well, the scripture reading is in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11 through 16. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Of these things put in them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study should show thyself to prove unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Father God, we add your blessing to the reading of your holy word, and it's for his name and for his sake. Amen. Let's go ahead and open up the prayer and we'll get started. Father God, we pause today to say thank you for our country. Thank you for our lives in Christ Jesus. We recognize that when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, that we didn't deserve it. And by the love of God, he sent his Son to take on the sins of the world, even of me and all who are present, to be forgiven and be able to provide a way to eternal life with him in the heavenlies far above. We thank you for the service that men and women have provided to this country to secure our freedoms, that we can come together in fellowship in this church freely without threat of persecution or any type of hardship that others around the world face daily as they try and propagate the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we pray that the lesson now gives glory to your Son, most specifically, and thank him for what he's done for us, and certainly bring honor to the men and women of who have served this country in our military and have given their lives that we might be free. We certainly know that freedom is not free, and the ultimate price had been paid by people who have died for this country, but most importantly, that Christ Jesus paid the ultimate price to take away the sins of the world, and that people would be able to come to that realization and acknowledge that they need to have him in their heart as their Savior to get that freedom that you provided. So we close now in Christ's name and for his sake we pray. Amen. Memorial Day. I got a call this week, and Derek said he would be out of town. Little did I know, it was a trip with the whole church. They were going to take them out of town as well. So I got subsequent calls from Mr. Tatum and Mr. Curry, and all those families were going to be out of town. So I look forward to putting together a lesson that we might celebrate Memorial Day. Because, you know, I thought memorial. You know, if you go to Scripture and look up memorial, it's certainly a bunch of Scriptures in there about that word. It's used various times. But for me, I thought, what is memorial? It's remembering things, you know. We had to set aside a memorial day to acknowledge the people that died for this country so we might remember their service and be gracious or gratitude, show gratitude for people that have died for this country. If you look on the back of the bulletin, you'll see the announcement by President Bush this year for Memorial Day 2007. And he put this out, I believe, on May 17th. But let's read just a few paragraphs of this from President Bush. A proclamation by the President of the United States of America. On Memorial Day, Americans pause with solemn gratitude and deep respect for our fallen servicemen and women who have given their lives for our country and our freedom. Through the generations, the courageous and selfless patriots of our armed forces have secured our liberty and borne its great and precious cost. When it has mattered most, patriots from every corner of our nation have taken up arms to uphold the ideals that we make our country a beacon of hope and freedom for the entire world. By answering the call of duty with valor and unrelenting determination, they have set a standard of courage and idealism that inspires us all. All Americans honor the memory of the lives that have been lost in defense of our freedom. Our nation mourns them, and their example of strength and perseverance gives us resolve. We are also thankful to those who have stood by our servicemen and women in times of war and times of peace. Today, the members of our armed forces follow in proud tradition handled down by them by the heroes that saved before them. They are protecting our nation, advancing the blessings of our freedom, and laying the foundation for a more peaceful tomorrow through service that exemplifies the good and decent character of our nation. America is grateful to all those who have worn the uniform of the armed services of the United States, and we will never forget their sacrifices for our liberties. On Memorial Day, we honor all those who have fallen by remembering their noble sacrifice for freedom. We also pray for our troops, their families, and for the peace we all seek. Now it goes on and talks about, you know, in respect for their devotion to America, the Congress, by a joint resolution approved on May 11, 1950, as amended, has requested the President to issue a proclamation calling on the people of the United States to observe each Memorial Day as a day of prayer and permanent peace, and designating a period on that day when the people of the United States might unite in prayer. The Congress, by public law, has also designated the minute beginning at 3 p.m. local time on that day as a time for all Americans to observe the national moment of remembrance. See, that word remembrance is really stuck to me when I started thinking about this Memorial Day. So, you know, I turn to Scripture, and I use often the neat little tool that allows me to look up every verse that has remembrance in it. It's called a concordance. And, you know, I often wonder, what did they do before the day of concordance, you know? Yeah, it makes it so easy nowadays. So when I went out to the concordance, I looked up remembrance. Now, one of the favorite verses or stories about remembrance I have in the Scripture is by the nation Israel when they were taken out of the Egyptian slavery and were able to go into the Promised Land. Now, of course, it wasn't that simple, because when the Lord got them there, He performed all kind of miracles to get them there. But yet, when they got there, it said, oh, we went in, man, we saw a bunch of giants. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. If we go in, surely they're going to beat us. There were 12 spies from each tribe of Israel. And they went in, and the two spies came out and said, man, you know, I know it looks bad, but if God says we can go in, we can go in. But guess who they decided with? The other 10. So the Lord was angry and made them wander in the desert 40 years until that whole generation that refused to go in died and passed away. And 40 years later, Joshua was given the baton to take him into over the River Jordan into the Promised Land. Now, if you look at your handout, I made it easy for you because we often do Bible aerobics here, and I wanted to have the scriptures available to you. So if you go to Joshua chapter 3, starting verse 7, we'll read a few scriptures here, and we'll pick up this story. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, and that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. Now, back then, that's important because they didn't have completed scripture like we do today. All they could really rely on is what God showed them through signs and miracles and wonders, and by giving them prophets that delivered the word of God. So he says here, I'm going to show them that I'm with you. In verse 8 says, and thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when you are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, you shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither, and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Hivites, and the Perizzites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Well, let's say that all the ites were bad people. You didn't want to be part of the ites, you know. And verse 11, behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth passes over before you in Jordan. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe of man, and it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of your feet of the priests that bear the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. And it came to pass, when the people removed their tents to pass over Jordan, the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as they that bear the Ark were come to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the Ark were dipped into the brim of the water, for the Jordan overfloweth all its banks all the time of harvest. That the waters which came down from above stood and rose up an heap very far from the city Adam, and that is beside Zipporah, and those that came down toward the sea of plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Chapter 4, and it came to pass that when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe of man, and command ye them, saying, take ye hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and you shall carry them over with you, and lay them in a lodging place where you shall lodge this night. The Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe of man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of tribes of the children of Israel. That this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. It's often common in Scripture, when you look at the history of Israel, God performs miracles, and within one generation, they forget. Time and time again. You know, somewhere, obviously, man coined the phrase, history repeats itself. Why? Because they forget. So here, the Lord performed the miracle about drying up the river Jordan, and they were able to cross in over dry land into the promised land. And he said, take 12 stones and make this, you know, little shrine. And when they ask you, your children, why do we have these stones here? Make them remember. Remember. You know, often having a memorial is about remembrance. Romans chapter 5, verse 7 through 10, tells us that for scarcely for a righteous man one will die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, it's much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. You know, we often talk about, you know, I would certainly die for any one of my family members if they were, you know, in peril. You know, we wouldn't give that another thought. But to think of dying for a person that I don't care for. Well, you know, if they're American, well, you know, I might. If it's convenient. But, you know, more likely I would probably try and save them, but still try and protect myself. But the fact that God commended his love toward us and that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us, is amazing how much of a memorial or a remembrance we should have about Christ dying for us. Now, we have people that have died for the freedom we have in this country. And I submit this generation doesn't really recognize that price that had been paid. You know, often I think about the difference between generations. I often equate it to helping my mother with a computer problem. And she had one this week. So I was able to solve it for her. And often I think, well, I wonder what, when I'm her age, what it's going to be where I am in trouble that I have to get my son to help me figure out what's going on. You know, from generation to generation, there are things that are passed down, but there are things that aren't passed down. The nature of man in this sinful state is to be rebellious. And the bait, certainly to be rebellious, is not to pay tribute to what has gone on before. Oh, that won't happen to me. Heck, I won't do that. But sure enough, it does. When you look at Scripture, when you look at remembrance, I thought it was important to look at Scriptures that Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, wrote regarding remembrance, that we should observe what he's trying to get across to us. Now, Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles, and he was given a particular body of truth called the mystery in Ephesians 3:9, Colossians 1:25 and 26. Now, the thing about the mystery is it is a dispensation of grace. We are now governed by God in this period of grace. We don't have, like during the Acts period, we don't have people that have handkerchiefs that we can touch and be healed. Paul talks about people he left being ill. What happened? Did Paul have his power taken away? Well, at the end of Acts period, all the signs and miracles and wonders addressed to Israel were ended. And now entered a new period where we're governed by strictly grace. And today, we often hurry and scurry around trying to think, well, if God could just tell me what I should do. I remember studying in college. I remember reading the Bible. And I was laying there one night and said, man, you know, if I could just find in here the steps 1 through 10 of what I should do, that'd be great. You know, I kept trying to find those. And there's nothing specific as far as, you know, under the law. They were given specifics. This is what you have to do. This is the priest have to do certain functions, and the people had to participate in a certain way, and they had to go through a certain process to get their sins forgiven. But Christ has done it all. So we sit here in this dispensation of grace as Christians, being members of the body of Christ, and he's done it all. What can we do? Anything plus Christ is nothing. It takes away from him. So, okay, what's left for us to do? Well, Paul sees some things here that he's encouraging us to be thoughtful and reminding us to be remembrance of certain things. If you go to Philippians chapter 1, verse 3, he says, I thank God upon my every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making request of joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it meet for me to drink this all you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both my bonds and the defense and the confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. In this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in the knowledge and all judgment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which have happened unto me have fallen out rather for the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and all other places. And many brethren in the Lord, waxing confident in my bonds, and much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ envy, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerity, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice and will rejoice. For I know that this shall return to my salvation through your prayer in the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, by that with all boldness as always, so now with also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Paul's sitting there saying, you know, if I was to die, man, it's going to be great, because I'm going to be in the heavens with him far above. So for me, it's gain. If you see here, verse 21, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose I would not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue all for all your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abounded in Christ for me by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you, or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you may stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. For unto you is given on in behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here to be in me. Here Paul is saying, you know, for unto you it is given in behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him. Now, we often talk about, I wonder if he was a Christian. You know, we typically try to look at people and say, well, what kind of fruit does he produce? You know, people that are saved and have the proper remembrance of Christ try to live with this mindset that not only are we to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Now, in America, we have freedom and we have a form of government that the common thing is the First Amendment. Freedom of speech. Well, there will come a time when you're preaching from Scripture and you're deemed judgmental and you have offended somebody somewhere. And that freedom of speech will go up the window. They're currently in, right now, there is a, I believe, a hate crime bill that has been very concerning for Christians, because the fact is, a preacher preaching against homosexuality would be considered a hate crime, and he could be persecuted for his sermon. It'll get worse and worse. 1 Timothy chapter 4, let's go there. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane old wives' fables, and exercise thyself unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that is now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially to those that believe. These things command and teach, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. How? In word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which has given thee by the prophecy, with the laying on the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thou pertaining may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto thy doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Continuing on to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. I thank God, whom I serve my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of my tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, for I am persuaded that it be in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance of that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting of my hands. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Before the world began, the Godhead sat there and thought all this out. And he thought of us. He thought of me and you. And he thought about the things we should be doing. That's glorious. That's fantastic. Christ Jesus not only died for me, but he thought of things I should do before the foundation of the world. Am I doing? Am I getting about my business? Or am I letting the world take precedence, and worries of the world and work and things that weigh me down and take my eye off the ball? We have a glorious calling in Scripture. And Paul's saying, keep that in remembrance. Don't ever forget that. Hold fast the form of sound works, which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy 2, chapter 2, verse 8 through 26. Remember that Jesus Christ, the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain salvation, which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him.
Okay.
Christ died for you and me. He died for everybody on the face of the earth. Now, does that mean every man is saved, universal salvation? No. It's a gift. When do you receive a gift? When the person buys it? When they wrap it up? When is it yours? When you take it. You have to receive the gift that's been given to you. So here it says, if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we've received that gift, we shall live with Christ Jesus. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. So if we choose to suffer for his sake, apparently there is a bonus. Instead of living with him, you get to reign with him. Okay, well, that sounds pretty good. Let's continue. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Now, wait a minute. Can we lose our salvation? I mean, you know, I'm in this body of death. I often do things that I shouldn't do. Have I performed the an act that makes me be in this state of denial? When we are saved, we are always saved. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit. That's an earnest deposit. We cannot be unsaved. Now, we can be it casually, make no doubt. Many have been saved, and Satan has a twofold purpose. One is to keep people from being saved. But if they become saved, do everything in his power to make them ineffectual for the service of Christ. Make them a casualty of war. We know there is a warfare. We're told there's a set of armor that we're to wear in this warfare. And the one offensive thing we were given in that warfare was the sword, which is the Word of God. Go back to 2 Timothy here. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. We may be called to a specific calling in the body of Christ, but if we don't receive that calling or don't pursue it or do what he would like us to do, he will not deny himself. You're members of the body of Christ. You're going to be in there in the heavenlies living with Christ. Now, if you suffer with him, you will reign with him. But if you don't receive what he called you to do, he will still let you in through the pearly gates, but you won't have that special bonus. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to subverting him that hears. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shun for profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word doth eat as a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection has passed already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, let the foundation of God stand sure, having this zeal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. In a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man purge himself of these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified meat for the master's use, and prepared under every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but also righteousness. Follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes, and that the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by his will." Paul is filled in his scripture. He is filled with encouragement of remembrance. And it really caught me on Memorial Day to point these things out. Hopefully it was a blessing to you. I really enjoyed looking at them. And I thank God that He has provided all these things for us. And I encourage each one of us to be sensitive to His will so we would do what we're called to do. Now let's close with prayer. Father God, Lord, we thank You for the Scriptures where we get to look in Your encouragement about remembrance. The Apostle Paul was certainly encouraging us through his writings that we might take heed to what we've been called to do in the body of Christ. And the calling that we have is certainly a high calling. And we need to be true to that. And even if it comes to a point where we are suffering persecution or basically those that go against us, and we get uncomfortable or feel a certain way, that, you know, that too shall pass, because You told us that if we suffer for You, we shall reign with You. And Lord, we thank You for that opportunity, and thank You for the fact that we're a member of the body of Christ, and we have our sins forgiven. But most importantly, we have a job to do, which is to propagate Your word and to study, to be approved on Your sight, and be that appropriate workman that handles the word of God right to fight us. So we thank You for this, and it's in Christ's name we pray, and for His sake, amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.